You planned for that important project, that necessary task. You blocked the time. You sat down, and then nothing. The time was real. You were physically present, but mentally, you were running on empty. Maybe you stared at a blank document. Maybe you scrolled your phone for just a minute that turned into 40. Maybe you tried to push through anyway and produce something you later deleted. Why can't I just focus? I had the time. What's wrong with me? Other people seem to do this. Why is it so hard for me? The story you tell yourself, without even meaning to, is that you're the problem. What if I told you the problem wasn't your discipline? It was your unit of measurement. Welcome to Think Like a Librarian, Systems for Curious Minds. I'm Meredith, and today we're talking about a question that changed how I think about productivity. What if we planned for energy instead of time? In the last episode, I talked about why learning systems fail smart people, how courses and memberships are often designed for an ideal learner who doesn't exist, someone with unlimited time, perfect focus, and no competing demands. Today, I want to go broader, because it's not just learning systems. It's the everyday systems we might not even see as systems. They are calendars, chore charts, project trackers, workplace policies, fitness apps. They're all making assumptions about you, about your capacity, about how you work. And most of those assumptions, they're wrong. By the end of this episode, you'll see the hidden assumptions in the systems you use every day and understand why planning for energy instead of time changes how we design systems for ourselves and others. Let's dig in. Here's something I want you to notice. We interact with systems constantly without recognizing them as systems. When you hear the word system, you might think of something formal, a software platform, a government process, a corporate workflow, but systems are everywhere, and most of them are invisible until they fail us. Think about your calendar. Every hour gets equal weight, right? 9 a.m. looks the same as 3 p.m. Tuesday looks the same as Friday. The calendar doesn't know and doesn't care whether you slept well, whether your kid was up sick, whether you're anxious about something, or whether you're riding a wave of creative momentum. It just shows you blocks of time and expects you to fill them. Or think about project management tools, Gantt charts, timelines. They assume task A leads to task B, leads to task C. Linear progress, predictable flow. But if you've ever done creative work, or honestly, any complex work, you know it rarely moves in straight lines. Sometimes you need to circle back, sometimes you leap ahead, sometimes you sit with something for a while before you know what it needs. Workplace core hours assume everyone has the same peak productivity window, but some of us do our best thinking at 6 a.m., some of us come alive at 9 p.m., some of us have energy that shifts depending on the day, the week, the season. Household chore charts assume you'll have the same capacity to do laundry on Tuesday that you had last Tuesday. But what if this Tuesday you're recovering from a migraine? What if this Tuesday your toddler refused to nap and you're running on fumes? Even fitness apps do this. Step goals assume every day your body can deliver the same output. 10,000 steps. Every day. No exceptions. No grace for the days your body is saying, not today. None of these systems are broken. They're just built on assumptions that don't match how humans actually work. And here's what happens. When we struggle with these systems, we blame ourselves. We think we're the problem. We think we need more discipline, more willpower, more consistency. But what if the problem isn't us? What if the problem is the design? Most systems, whether we designed them ourselves or inherited them from productivity culture, assume four things about human capacity. Assumption number one, consistent attention. The system assumes you can focus the same way at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., on Monday and Friday, in January and July. It doesn't account for the fact that attention fluctuates, sometimes wildly, based on factors you can't always control. Assumption number two, predictable availability. The system assumes you'll show up when scheduled, with the capacity you planned for. But life doesn't work that way. Kids get sick, meetings run long, emergencies happen, and sometimes you just don't have it, even when you're technically available. Assumption number three, linear progress. The system assumes step one leads to step two, leads to step three. No backtracking, no spiraling, no, wait, I need to rethink step one before I can move forward. But real work, especially creative or complex work, is almost never linear. It loops, it stalls, it surprises you. Assumption number 4, equal capacity day-to-day.
The system assumes Tuesday you
and Thursday you
have the same resources to draw from, the same energy, the same bandwidth, the same ability to show up and perform.
But that's rarely true, is it? I track how I spend my time using an app called Timing. The way I've set it up, it categorizes everything. Focus time, admin time, personal time. And what I've noticed is that matching task type to my energy matters so much more than matching tasks to time slots. The way so many productivity gurus recommend when they throw out phrases like time blocking or task batching. When I plan based on the clock, I'll write from 9 to 11. I set myself up for frustration because some days at 9 a.m., my brain is ready to write, and some days at 9 a.m., my brain can barely compose an email. But when I plan based on energy, I have high focus energy right now, so I'll do creative work. Everything flows better. I get more done, and I feel less like a failure at the end of the day. Here's the thing. Planning for time reinforces these four assumptions. Planning for energy challenges them. These assumptions don't just inconvenience everyone equally, they disproportionately fail certain people. People with ADHD, like me, whose attention and energy can vary dramatically, not just day to day, but hour to hour. People with chronic illness, whose capacity is genuinely unpredictable. People with caregiving responsibilities, parents especially, who can't control when someone else needs them. People managing mental health conditions, where anxiety or depression or burnout can drain your reserves without warning. Anyone whose capacity genuinely fluctuates is going to struggle with systems designed for someone whose capacity is stable. I've lived this. I have ADHD. I'm parenting a 4-year-old. I work part-time as a librarian. I'm building a business. And last year, I went through a stretch of illness, one thing after another, that taught me something important. When I tried to push through, to stick to the schedule, to meet the expectations I'd set for myself, I didn't recover faster. I recovered slower. The system, push through, stay on track, made things worse, not better. And here's the reframe I want to offer. If you've struggled with systems designed around these assumptions, that's not a personal failure. That's a design mismatch. The system was built for a human who doesn't exist, one with infinite, consistent capacity. You're not that human. Neither am I. Neither is anyone. So when capable people struggle with capable people systems, the problem isn't the person. It's the assumptions. This is where the library comparison I keep coming back to really earns its keep. If you heard episode 02, you already know the patron framing that libraries aren't designed for an ideal user. They're designed for real people showing up in all kinds of states. That same principle applies here, just one layer deeper. A library doesn't just accommodate variable people. It accommodates variable days. The same patron who needs a quiet corner on Tuesday might need the makerspace on Thursday. The system doesn't ask which version of you is correct. It just offers different conditions. And that's the question worth bringing into your own planning. What do I have capacity for right now? A library never asks you to be the same person twice. Your systems don't have to either. I took a tour of a really popular startup once. I remember seeing a sign pinned to someone's cubicle wall. You have the same number of hours in the day as Beyonce. To some people, that kind of phrase would be motivating. But as the phrase kept dancing around in my head, I kept coming back to this thought. But I'm not Beyonce. I don't have executive assistants, probably plural, makeup artists, choreographers, talent agents, and heck knows how many other people at my beck and call. Yeah. We might have the same number of hours in the day as Beyonce, but we don't have the same resources. Time is a finite resource. We only have so many hours in a day. Time treats all hours as equal. That's what makes it useful as a measurement. An hour is an hour is an hour. It's neutral. It's consistent. It doesn't care what's happening inside of you. But energy isn't neutral at all. Energy fluctuates constantly, shaped by forces we often don't even name. Cognition. Some days your brain is sharp. Some days it's foggy. Sleep, nutrition, medication, hormones, illness, all of these shift your cognitive capacity, sometimes hour to hour. Emotion. Anxiety, grief, excitement, dread. Emotional states consume energy whether we acknowledge them or not. You might have 3 hours free on your calendar, but if you're carrying worry about something, those hours aren't really free. Environment. A quiet house versus a chaotic one. A supportive workplace versus a draining one. Your surroundings either replenish you or deplete you. Same amount of time, completely different capacity. Context switching. Every time you shift between tasks, you pay a tax. The more you switch, the less energy you have for any single thing. An afternoon with 5 different meetings isn't the same as an afternoon with 1 long focus block, even if the total hours are identical. Here's where the librarian lens comes back in. Libraries don't assume uniform usage. We know there are busy hours and quiet hours, high demand seasons and slow periods. Library systems are built for peaks, lulls, and reentry. Patrons can come back after months away and still find their way. They don't have to remember where they left off. The system helps them orient. That's intentional design. What if we built our personal systems the same way? Not assuming we'll always show up at full capacity, but expecting variability and designing for graceful reentry. Systems that help you know where you are and what makes sense to do next, even when your brain is foggy. Because here's the truth. If a system only works on high energy days, it's fragile. Robust systems, the ones that actually serve us, are designed to hold us on the hard days too. All right, it's time for this episode's Workflow Wisdom, the segment where we take intuitive wisdom about how we work and turn it into something practical you can actually use. Today's workflow wisdom is something I call the 3-tier task list. Y'all, here's the idea. Instead of keeping one monolithic to-do list where everything lives together and you have to sort through it every time you sit down to work, try keeping 3. Tier 1, high-energy tasks. These are the things that need your best brain, creative work, complex problem solving, deep thinking, strategic planning, writing, anything that requires focus and cognitive horsepower. Tier 2, medium energy tasks. These need presence, but not peak performance. Meetings, collaborative work, tasks that require you to be engaged, but not necessarily brilliant. Responding to emails that need thoughtful replies. Tier 3, low energy tasks. These are the autopilot tasks, admin work, filing, organizing, clearing out your inbox, scheduling, the things you can do when your brain is tired, but you still want to feel productive. Now here's how you use it. Each morning, or whenever you're planning your day, check your energy first. Don't look at your task list yet. Just notice, what kind of energy do I actually have right now? And then pull from the appropriate tier. High energy morning, grab something from tier 1. Medium energy afternoon, work from tier 2. Low energy evening, but you still want to make progress, tier 3 is there for you. And here's the important part. No guilt for which tier you're working from. Working from tier 3 isn't failure, it's honest matching. It's respecting your actual capacity instead of pretending you have capacity you don't. This isn't about doing less, it's about doing the right things for the energy you have. And over time, you'll start to notice patterns. Maybe mornings are reliably tier 1 for you. Maybe Fridays are always tier 3. That information is valuable. It helps you plan proactively instead of reactively. The 3-tier task list. Give it a try this week and see what shifts. So here's what I want to leave you with today. Before your next planning session, whether that's tomorrow morning or right after this episode, try asking yourself a different question. Not what do I need to get done, but what kind of energy do I have today? Notice how that changes what feels possible. Notice how it might feel like relief instead of obligation. And if you've been beating yourself up for not sticking to the schedule, for having the time but not the capacity, I hope this episode gives you permission to question the assumptions you've been living under. Because those assumptions weren't designed for you. They were designed for a human who doesn't exist. You exist with all your variability, your fluctuations, your real and beautiful human complexity. And you deserve systems that honor that. In future episodes, and in some resources on the building, we'll go deeper into how to actually design systems that help you orient and make progress, even when your energy is unpredictable. Because knowing your energy matters. But having a system that meets you where you are, that's the next step. Thanks for listening to Think Like a Librarian. If this episode helped you see something differently, I'd love for you to share it with someone who needs to hear it. Sometimes the most powerful thing we can offer is a different question to ask. If you want to keep exploring systems that actually fit your life, not just the ideal version of it, subscribe wherever you're listening. Until then, time doesn't care if you're exhausted, but your systems can. And when your systems honor your energy, not just your hours, that's when real, sustainable productivity becomes possible. Not productivity that burns you out. Productivity that actually fits your life.